just gonna look.
Hello?
You know the part in scary movies where somebody does something really stupid and everybody hates them for it? This is it.
You're one microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his red right hand.
You're listening to The Morgue, also known as the Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga, and today we're discussing Scream Season 2, Episodes 5 and 6, entitled Dawn of the Dead and Jeepers Creepers.
Both movies I've heard of but haven't seen. I've seen parts of Dawn of the Dead.
Is that the George Romero zombie movie?
I think there's also a remake. I think Zack Snyder might have made a remake. Which I think is supposed to be good, actually.
No, I mean, yeah. He probably got famous somehow.
Yeah. So I think next week there are some movies that I've actually seen as the titles. But, yeah. Alright, so spoilers on episodes 5 and 6, as we get into these here episodes. Again, sorry we are a little bit later than we intended, just a particularly crazy week. My work schedule is really crazy, and Olga was finishing up a class she was taking, so...
It's done.
But next...
It's done.
But next time should be better. You know, we should be back on track, and it's not, Nari might even be coming back soon. So there's a possibility that she'll pop in, and maybe she'll do every other week and stuff like that. So let's get right into things. How would you grade episode 305, the study room episode?
Dawn of the Dead.
Yes.
I liked it.
Yeah,
I thought
too.
It was a pretty good episode. I'd probably give it, like, a B+.
That's exactly what I was thinking, actually. Yeah, it was a good one. It was like, the closest thing they could have to a bottle episode, which gave it a different tone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, for me, the only sort of thing lacking is that it felt like it was a really good app building suspense, and then it kind of built suspense to not really much of anything. And so,
yeah,
that was the only thing that was kind of like, it's one of those things, again, where I talk about where the characters are at is not necessarily where the audience is at, because them having another big death in this episode would have maybe been too much for them, because mm-hmm. they were just reeling from Jake. But for me, it was like, okay, it's freaking time.
Yeah.
And this is a perfect episode. Everybody's locked together. Some crazy shit can go down.
Yeah.
And then I did like, we'll get to the whole Stavo thing that happened.
Yes, I really like that.
Yeah, I thought that was great, but I still think that we needed a bigger punch.
So that's exactly it, where no one's died since episode 1.
Besides Eddie.
Oh, right, Eddie. Yeah. I always forget about Eddie.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's true.
But Eddie doesn't really count, because he had, like, what, 3 lines? Like,
yeah, but Eddie's death is, like, refreshed in the next episode.
Yeah.
So it would have been really nice if, like you said, they'd up the ante, because we're kind of sitting around here, like, who's next, who's next, yeah. who's next? And it feels like they're kind of holding back from that.
Hmm.
Because, as in the case of this episode, they're really trying to focus on character development.
Yeah, which is good.
It's great. Yeah. I like character development, yeah. and, like, interpersonal relationships and conversations like that. And this is the episode for that, because of it being such a closed room, you know,
yeah.
tension kind of driven thing. But they're focusing so much on whether or not Emma is actually seeing the killer.
Yeah.
And it almost makes them not want to push that too far.
Yeah.
At the same time as not wanting to, like, push it away from that
yeah.
too far. So that's why maybe they're kind of having a cautious hand.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start with talking about Emma and just say that I don't know if... Because there's this theory going around of, does she have a split personality? Could she be the killer? Is that why she keeps having run-ins and then the killer doesn't actually do anything?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was in the hotel room, you know, she is the only one who sees the killer this episode. He, you know, we'll talk about stuff from next episode. And it's like, to me, it's kind of an unfortunate thing where it's like, if that's what it is, we know it now and we're only halfway through the season, and that could potentially feel a little underwhelming, mm-hmm. but it would also get rid of Emma, it's hard to, I don't want to hate on her too much, but she is a weaker link, and I think that I would be excited for a season three that was just about Brooke and Audrey and Noah.
Yeah.
And,
so that's exactly it, where we kind of talked about this, but we're not sure if we've actually seen, we've heard of the trope of, like, main character has split personality, commits murder. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I actually did it myself. Who knew? I was investigating this murder, but it was me all along.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't, like, seen too many things with it, but yeah. It's a trope I'm aware of, more or less. Yeah.
It feels like an older idea, but yeah. I don't think as, like, obviously, like, the idea of the split personality killer has right. been a lot, but right. not as the protagonist.
The protagonist. So that's exactly it of, okay, this is unique enough,
yeah,
where it, if they pull it off,
yeah,
then it could be really great and refreshing,
yeah,
and make season three really exciting,
yeah,
and a totally new experience. Mm. So in a weird way, I'm kind of already looking forward to that,
yeah,
and I feel like maybe that's a bad thing in case I'm setting myself up for
disappointment
because they're hammering home this potential idea so much,
yeah.
It could be another case of, like, we're going to figure it out way before the finale.
Well, the other thing is that if the characters are already starting, I mean, we're going to be a little bit to episode 6 here, but if the characters are already sort of starting to suspect Emma, does that mean that it can't possibly be Emma?
Right.
You know, but on the flip, so here's the thing. If that isn't what's happening, mm-hmm. then what's happening is terrible. Like,
so that's yes, that's another reason I'm kind of looking forward to it, because then it feels like a weird use of time.
Yeah, because otherwise, what the heck is the point of that scene with the killer and Emma in this episode? Because it's just, again, we've had so many scenes now of the killer seems like he's specifically going after Emma, and either the killer is an idiot, like, because it's really depowering the killer, because he keeps trying to go after her, one little minor thing happens, and he runs away.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's on the phone being like, I want to creep you out. I'm not trying to actually hurt you. I just keep wanting to freak you out. Like, it's not like she fights him off even. He just disappears.
So that's exactly it, where she has, like, this empowerment moment after she steps through this, like, broken window.
Yeah.
And she's like,
well, also by breaking the window, it's an
empowerment. Yes. But, like, yeah, she breaks through and then she screams, like, basically, I'm not going to let you do this to me again, you know? Yeah. So that's another thing of, like, oh, I'm supposed to feel like you're really badass, but most of my attention was, like, was he really there? In which case, or even if he was there,
why did he run away?
Why did he
had a freaking knife? You
I
had
want
nothing.
A confrontation to take place.
Yeah. Like, even if he had, okay, so if he was actually physically there, he existed. The fact that he could have tried to fight her and then she fought him off and he ran back to the people and he didn't go after her. Like, it was, so I don't know. But stepping a few steps back with Emma. So she found Jake's phone, which is another thing of maybe she's the killer, because maybe she has Jake's phone because she was the one who used Jake's phone.
Or it was planted.
Yeah, is the other possibility. Audrey convinces her not to tell the cops that would be playing into the killer's game, kind of clearly for Audrey's own benefit.
Right.
But Emma's being kind of stupid.
Yeah, so that's the thing, where obviously I can't fault Audrey for not wanting her to go to the cops because of her involvement. Yeah. But Emma really, you kept saying, like, well, she's emotional.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, but there's other people around her, and why aren't they encouraging her to go to the police more? Like, yeah, but it wasn't everybody. Noah wasn't there. It's like, so you tell Noah. Like, they're supposed to be this group. And here's another thing. They care about Brooke so much.
Yeah.
Well, then support Brooke in this. Like, she's your friend. They're making it all about them, and then they have these, like, oh, we love you, Brooke, so much. Yeah. It's like, then you go to the police because of her murdered boyfriend, then you show them this phone.
You know what one minor tweak might have really helped? Mm-hmm. Is I think they should have made Kieran more against this, like, made it more of an argument between the two of them, and then had him betray her, quote unquote, right. and turn, like,
right.
So, like, if it had been more of an argument, and then he'd been called away, and then he just ended the argument by telling the cop, like,
of having Emma also be more vocal about, I don't know what to do. Like, having her be torn.
Yeah.
But there was no being torn. Yeah. It was just like, panic.
Yeah. I'm so torn on Willa Fitzgerald, because, like, especially if he's supposed to be showing, like, signs of mental anguish, it's just not really working. But at the same time, I don't think she's bad. Like, she has a certain thing to her that makes her likable.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, and like, most of her line delivery is fine. It's just, she definitely, I don't feel like I'm feeling the mental anguish the way that I should be.
I get it in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But the thing is that is, like, so her state in a lot of this season that I, you know, it falters occasionally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get what you're saying.
So the sheriff thinks she's not so. And then we have the other big moment is the quote-unquote fight with Audrey. I mean, with Audrey.
Not
Haley.
Audrey.
Haley.
God,
all the
I want to smack Haley. Like, honestly.
I was so sure Haley would die on this episode.
That would have been so fucking satisfying.
Because that would have been A, satisfying. B, it would have been, like, a big enough death that they'd be like, oh my god, someone died, but they wouldn't be emotionally upset about it, you know? And so
it would have turned suspicion on Emma more.
Yeah, that would have been,
I mean, I feel like Haley's still going to die. They're not setting up this character to have her have a redemption arc, you know?
That'd,
like,
be so funny if they tried
that. Oh, fucking bitch.
So we should talk about, she goes too far, obviously, and is, like, basically blaming Emma for all the killings. And Emma, you know, smacks her down, which was...
She calls Emma crazy, too.
Yeah. It was good that she did. I still wish it was a punch. I just don't think visually, like, when you try to show a slap, especially when you're not actually going to do it, it looks kind of awkward to me. It turned a badass moment into an awkwardly visual moment. And so I feel like if she had punched her, A, it would have more clearly mirrored the Sydney punching Gale thing.
Right.
And, you know, and it, to me, it's also just, there was a great gender thing of Sydney punches her. She's not doing the stereotypical girl thing of slapping her. Mm-hmm. She punched her. And so, A, the slap to me is, like, going backwards, and B, then Haley attacking her and Emma needing, like, other people to pull her off of her. Just, like, really, it's like, oh, God, Emma, you're not Sydney.
Yeah, we want her to be Sydney so bad, but she kind of reconciled with that one, more or less. I think I would have preferred a punch, too. Yeah. It's just a question of how much I would believe that Emma is capable of that. So
she so should be by now, though. You know, it's season two. It's not like it's her first rodeo. But let's go to the killer.
Mm-hmm.
I guess all I said for the killer is that there's no kills this week, which we talked about.
Yeah.
So Kieran had a gun in his locker. He was super sketchy as hell about it.
Just freaking tell your friend. This is what I mean of, like,
speak to each other.
Yes, please. Communicate.
Yeah.
I've noticed something about Kieran.
Mm-hmm.
He has a reason to apologize in the last, like, 3-4 episodes in a row. Like, he apologizes for not believing her for seeing Brandon James after the ayahuasca.
Yeah.
He apologizes for, like, being distant earlier in the season of, like, why they haven't been together. And then the next episode, he apologizes for ratting on her.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, okay, is this, like, supposed to be suspicious? Like, is this supposed to be a thing of, like, he has guilt. Does that mean, but he's faking guilt about these minor things over a bigger thing?
I mean, I still feel like he is one of the more prime suspects on the list. He keeps disappearing at weird points and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do think a lot of it could just be them attempting to give him some dimension, which is, like, it's not working, but I also do respect them for trying.
Like, they kind of need to.
Yeah, like they're trying to make him more uncomfortable, I guess, is the character that I'd say.
What?
That he feels just sort of uncomfortable with the situation. He's uncomfortable with Emma. He doesn't know what to do. He feels...
Torn.
Yeah, I guess torn is more of the word. Is that, you know, he's kind of just has inner turmoil boiling, and it's not necessarily in the same way Emma's is, but he's trying to, he definitely is thinking about his dad a lot. And
yeah.
A lot of this would have been helped if we actually got more interactions with him and his dad.
Well, too little too late on that one, man.
So... You know, we see a new side to the sheriff where Kieran calls his bullshit of like his good guy routine, which sort of leads into throughout this episode. The sheriff is an interesting character in that he's becoming more and more of kind of a dick, but he's
also doing his job.
Yeah, he's being competent, which is good. I still am interested by the character.
Yes.
Even if I don't like him on a personal level, yeah. The same way.
Yeah, I can't say I like him anymore. I'm still intrigued by him. We still haven't explored the mystery of how he was involved with Maggie.
Yeah,
in the past.
Yeah. I'm excited about this flashback stuff coming. Okay, so we know he betrays Emma, quote unquote, by telling him
dun,
with the phone.
Dun.
Yeah. Let's talk about Audrey and Stavo. So Audrey's freaking out the whole episode. She's all like, "I'm in the stacks. What am I doing?"
Yeah, that was so dumb. Like, why? Everyone there claimed that, like, they claimed the stacks.
Yeah.
Of, like, we're going to have private conversations over here. It's like, this feels unrealistic. People would be, like, making out in there or something like that. Yeah. Like, great, I'm locked in a room with my boyfriend. It's like, go away, I'm stalking someone from in here.
So she's freaking out at Stavo, and she sort of attacks him for his drawings. And, you know, we see more and more of the bloody drawings in this episode. He says, you know, it's for a comic book, and we get into this sort of angry mob scene, which I thought was interesting, so I sort of debated with people that I really liked this because this was the first time in the Scream universe that I totally, like, that I believed the mob, like, whereas, like, we talked about in the Scream movies how people were maybe a little bit too callous. That it's, like, nobody seemed to care. Like, most of the general public didn't seem to care these killings were happening. Thought that was funny.
Yeah, that
and
was
like,
annoying.
And it was, like, I think that was intended, I think, as a commentary.
Right.
And which I think was interesting, but I never totally bought it as everybody.
Right.
Like, if there were, like, a pockets of people like Haley existing, I believe.
Yeah.
But in the pockets of that existing, I believe. But I don't believe that the majority of people, like, I just think about, like, when tragedy strikes, people hold vigils, like, and, you know, people come together more often, I feel like, and yes, there'll be your side dicks and all that stuff, and even this
side dick sorry
and even here, it's obviously they're not being good, they're having a mob mentality, and they're like, I can't believe, you know, at this time, they've probably known some of the people who've died too.
Yeah.
And that it comes off very gross and tactless that he's doing these drawings, even if it is for a comic book.
Yeah.
You know?
So, we haven't figured out whose head that was supposed to be. Like, when Audrey lifts up the tablet,
yeah.
He's drawing a decapitated head.
I was unclear whether that was, like, Emma or Haley.
I thought
or...
it might be Haley because
yeah.
The hair looked
yeah.
dark.
I think it's
but it
Haley.
Wasn't anyone distinctly recognizable.
Especially because she specifically gets so pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that does continue to make me think that, I know we've said it before, but Haley would be the next death, and it would be really fascinating if her death involved decapitation now.
That would be
if that was a predictor.
Yeah. Well, it could even be giving the killer an idea if the killer was in that room.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was definitely a thing of, like, well, we as viewers have kind of already figured or decided that Stavo isn't the killer.
Yeah.
Because, like... Look, he has the mask.
Yeah.
Like, it's a little too...
Yeah, this is the episode where we find out that he has the mask, right?
No,
it was last episode.
We already knew.
Yeah.
So, we already are like, no, it's not going to be him.
Yeah.
They're trying a little too hard to, like, make us think it's him. So, with this on top of him being, like, revealed and the mob turning to him, I think that also adds commentary about mob mentality
yeah.
and fear. and victimization.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, don't beat him up. He's not. Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing is, I actually think the fact that the audience is so separated from agreeing with Audrey here, I think actually makes that scene better.
Yes.
Because we are seeing him as a victim.
Yeah.
And we are seeing what turning on the wrong person can do.
Yeah. We don't do the thing of like, well, maybe he deserves it.
Yeah. That does. You, I mean, bringing up the commentary thing, I think that they've kind of a little bit moved away from more of the commentary stuff, and I think that they should try to bring that back in more. That I feel like season one, they feel like they were doing it more with some of the social media stuff and the bullying of Audrey and everything.
Right.
But I feel like this season it hasn't quite as had, like, there's no message really being built except maybe something about mental health. But I don't really...
And we'll see how that plays out, about whether or not it's a good or accurate portrayal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so, over the Noah, he has a talk with Zoe. I like Zoe. I'm a fan.
Yep.
He's trying to ignore everything. That's her way of coping, and she talks about how Noah's way is to turn the death into a puzzle to avoid actually dealing with it, which I think is also a good sort of explanation for maybe his behavior in the first few episodes. We were talking about how he was being so callous.
Yeah.
That this is, you know, this is the episode for me where I was like, okay, maybe Noah isn't the killer.
Well, with the next episode, yeah, I feel more or less convinced.
Yeah, I mean, what people would point out that he was out in that hallway a long time. He could have been the killer attacking Emma, but I'm beginning to think that we're seeing so much of his... The problem with people, like, people were like, is Brooke the killer? I'm like, we're seeing people like Noah and Brooke now, we're seeing so much of their character development that I would almost be annoyed if they were the killer.
Like, so much of their vulnerability.
Yeah.
That... what looks like an internally honest moment.
Yeah.
And if they backtrack on that, I would really be annoyed.
Yeah. And it just wouldn't feel right.
Especially
with someone like Brooke, where I feel like we're seeing each step of her process.
Yes.
It would just be weird if there was some whole other thing going on.
So another thing with, like, adding to how Noah deals with things is he's the first interview we kind of glance at with the sheriff.
Yeah.
And the sheriff is like, oh, it must be so hard or whatever. And he's just like, well, you get used to it. And actually, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's kind of this thing of, he's lying to himself a bit and trying to maybe distance himself from it by just feeling like an investigator, the podcaster, the narrative voice of what's going on.
I think they're doing a solid job with him this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, of course, the big cliffhanger is that he begins to suspect Audrey and he takes her phone. That was a big moment. I wasn't expecting it to happen this soon.
Right? Yeah.
I do think Audrey's an idiot for not deleting that GIF.
Yes! Thank you. That was so stupid. I'm like, Audrey, why would you keep any of this shit on your phone?
Especially in an especially given that we'd seen her deleting texts before.
Right. So, and then he just kept sending them back. It's like, all right, well, now that a little time has passed, I tried to delete it again.
Well, the thing is, if he hadn't deleted the text messages, I might have understood that a little bit more. But why on earth would you leave the GIF? Like exactly. That's, like, literally evident. Like, you could try to explain away the text messages, but the GIF?
Yes.
Alright, so over at Brookland, she's a sad panda.
That is, like, putting it so lightly, Dan. This was probably the emotional core of the episode. Sure.
She did a great job. Carlson Young is a really solid actress. And that's the thing. I mean, I hate harping on the acting of people, but I do think that Willa is the weak link between Carlson and Audrey and Bex. Taylor. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're so strong that they seem like they should be the core of the show.
Yeah.
And
I have to say that as much as I like Audrey.
Yeah.
I think that Carlson Young's, like, performance really anchors the show.
Yeah.
Like, she's probably the most convincing. She comes off, like, the most genuine.
Yeah.
And with what her character is tasked to do,
all
of this, like, the range that she displays, I really am impressed by it. I really hope that she does great things from here.
And, I mean, I'm also kind of the most impressed by her because Audrey, as the writing went, was sort of innately interesting from the get-go, whereas Brooke really impressed me because when she started, she was one of my least interesting characters.
Yeah.
You know, and so she had a growth, and they managed to make someone who I was so, this character again.
Yeah.
About, you know.
And me being one of her biggest champions now.
Yeah. So she blames Branson, which we'll get to more next episode. There's the pool scene, which was a really great moment. I wish that wasn't in the promo. That would have been more powerful for me if it hadn't been in the promo.
Oh, the ending scene when she's screaming in the pool.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't remember that, because that really, like, hit me.
No. And then, like, just throwing in Maggie, he, you know, told Brooke some things about the case and was taken off of it by the sheriff, which we've already talked about the sheriff, but just throw that in there.
Yeah. Oh, Maggie. Yeah. We have small reminders about your existence every episode.
All right. 306?
Yes.
All right. So we are over in the Jeepers Creepers land, which, I mean, I guess I don't, I know of the movie, but I don't know exactly why they're calling it Jeepers Creepers. It's like that creepy things happen. maybe this has to do with the carnival?
I think it does.
That must be what it is. All right, grading. This is a really tough one.
I was just gonna say that. Like, this is a tougher episode to grade.
This is one that, to me, has high highs and low lows.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that I straight up just, like, didn't like, and there were moments that I was, like, literally bored, but there were other things that I really liked.
Yes.
So, it was a weird mixed bag. I'm thinking B.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, just because of that, like, have more of the highs.
Yeah, but I will say that this week, that this podcast's pairing of episodes did sort of reverse the curse of one episode's good, one episode's bad.
Right, but it's not as intense. It's nowhere near as intense as it's been the last
two. Yeah, it wasn't like a few huge fall off. There was still plenty of good stuff in
this one. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, weren't we grading in the C range at one point? Yeah. Like,
All right, so over with Emma. Emma doesn't have a ton to do this episode. There's more to talk about with her mental state. She's very gung-ho to find out what's happened.
Yeah, she's more badass this episode.
Yeah, yeah. She doesn't trust the cops. Well, the problem is that her being badass is innately tied with her being an idiot.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because...
and very frustrating.
Yeah, because she doesn't trust... I mean, I understand why she doesn't trust the cops, but she keeps making these bad choices.
Yeah.
So there's the whole scene with her and Noah, and her finding out that Noah has the murder board with Audrey on it. I saw some people being like, why didn't Noah just show, Emma the GIF? Because that would have been more convincing proof.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was clear that he purposely didn't show her the GIF because he was worried about Emma quickly jumping to conclusions.
Yeah, and he wanted to investigate this.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready to.
He didn't even want her to see the murder board.
Yeah.
You know, so, that made sense to me. But Emma will not believe that it's Audrey. She wants to go to Eddie and prove that, Eddie saw the accomplice show her Audrey's picture.
Mm-hmm.
Show him Audrey's picture. So then Maggie's like, no, don't go outside. Now, I don't know if I missed something, but I don't know how then Emma was outside.
No, I thought it was, like, at night or something like that. Like, you're not going anywhere with a killer out there.
But she was out. I felt like with them, we just went to a scene of her and Kieran just outside. And then she's like, I'm going to the carnival. And he's like, no, you shouldn't. But how did they end up outside in the first place? It's still nighttime.
I don't know. That's a good point. Yeah.
It's a mess. I don't know if I missed a line or something, maybe.
Maybe. Your boredom clouded your vision.
All right, so, you know, Kieran is like, don't go, but she goes anyway.
Well, it's that super... So does Emma call him when she gets a flat tire, or does he, like, show up?
I don't... Geez, apparently I really didn't pay attention to this scene. I apologize.
Wow, Dan.
I was live tweeting, and I didn't care. Let's be honest, I thought that Kieran and Emma were particularly annoying in this episode. I just did not care.
Well, it starts off again with him apologizing to her, I'm sorry I ratted you out. Didn't give me a chance to do the right thing. It's like, well, you shouldn't have even... Like, there was no actual pulling you in opposite directions.
Yeah.
Sorry, I will stop harping on the phone. But anyway.
Yeah.
So he apologizes again, and then he leaves. And then she goes to Noah, and then That happens. Yeah. I think she gets a flat tire.
It was just
and then she calls him. Yeah.
Things with Brooke, Audrey, and Noah were just so interesting this episode that I was just like, oh, this is an Emma scene.
Fair enough. But yeah, no, I think she called him, he came to rescue, and then he, like, reiterated what Maggie said.
Yeah.
But in that case, if you should know Emma at this point, Kieran. Like, you should know that she's not, when she's already left the house. Yeah. And, like, called you to fix her flat tire.
Well, I guess he did know her because he followed her.
He did.
Yeah.
Which was sketchy McSketch.
Well, why don't we move to my next section is Kieran and the sheriff.
Yeah.
You know, the sheriff is a dick and is like, if you cooperated the first time, maybe your dad would still be alive.
Wow, yeah, asshole.
What an asshole. So then Kieran appears out of nowhere at the carnival. He has a legitimate reason of, I understand why he'd follow and want to protect Emma, but at the same time, yeah, that is super suspicious. It's one of those things, though, where I can't tell if they're trying to make him seem suspicious and it's just a red herring.
Because that's the thing, it actually makes sense for him to do that.
Yeah.
Because instead of forcing her car to go home and, like, dragging her to the door to her mother, he's like, no, I'm just going to see where this goes.
Yeah.
So it's like,
you mentioned that there was a lot of, like, good intention stalking throughout this episode.
It was between Noah and Audrey. Even Brooke a bit.
Yeah. So we end up the episode with him feeling sort of worried about Emma, going to the sheriff about Emma, and the sheriff has found out that Kevin's emails from Riley were actually from Emma, again, reinforcing, is it all Emma? Is Emma the killer? I guess we've talked about the two options of, you know, the killer's actually there, or Emma's the killer. I guess there's a third option, which is, we don't know which times the killer's real, and which times he isn't.
Yeah. It's a mix of
I don't know that I like that idea. I don't really know what we get out of it in the long run. Like, it could be cool, but instead, if it just leads to us having these weird scenes where I'm like, is the killer an idiot or is it Emma being, you know, like, I don't really know that I want that. Because once again, we have the killer, like, chase after them for half a second and then disappear. And, you know, they go to a carnival and then nothing happened. Like, it wasn't like it was just Emma this week. There were a bunch of people. He could have attacked one of them. It was...
Well, the other thing is that of, like, what would be interesting if it's both.
Yeah.
Both the real killer and Emma is that in the end, Emma is so broken that she is removed, like, due to her mental health.
Yeah.
Which would be, like, pretty dark.
Yeah, it would be.
So I don't...
Not really a great message.
No, but in line with, like, camp?
Yeah.
That would be a thing?
But I also, I was thinking about it from a gender representation point of view that it's like, oh, she just totally got destroyed. But I guess if we have all the other girls not getting destroyed,
right,
then it's not that big of a deal.
Like, to me, Brooke is the real final girl already. For real.
Yeah.
Go, Brooke.
So, yeah, okay, so the killer did nothing at the carnival. We can talk about the Branson iron attack. Sure. Oh, that's where it's in the outline accidentally. Fine, we'll come back to it. I didn't reorder the people the correct way. So, let's talk about Noah and Audrey.
By Curious and the Virgin.
So, we have this really awkward scene at the bike shop.
Oh my god. Which so fun.
Pretty funny. The one thing I didn't like about this scene is that Noah tries to return Audrey's phone.
He succeeds.
for like literally no reason. She thinks she lost her phone. He just let her keep thinking she lost her phone. I don't really understand why you'd return it, but...
Maybe it's... Yeah, no, I don't know. I was going to say, like, in case the killer keeps contacting her.
Yeah.
In which case...
He'd want to know.
Right.
Yeah, it just seems weird. And we didn't even, especially because we didn't even see him back it up. Like, I assume he did, but, like, if at least we had seen him back up the GIF or something, it might have helped a little. Because he's not only is he giving the phone back, creating suspicion on him after he just acted awkward, but he's also potentially giving up evidence.
Well, wait. I just thought of something that I didn't think of before.
Yeah.
If Audrey was the killer, why would she have a GIF of herself texted to her of her with Jake's body? So, like, if anything, he needs to suspect still suspect yeah. Audrey, but, like, he still needs to be like, oh, and there's someone else.
Well, that's, but I do think that they, that is kind of what he's, because he doesn't want to go to Emma with it. Right. He knows something's up, Audrey's right. not being honest, but I don't think that he, you know, he thinks, you know, yeah, because I think
he's
also.
He's calling her his prime suspect, though, like, yeah. that doesn't leave much room
that's
for.
That's a good point. It's, I mean, I guess it would make some sense that she would still be a prime suspect for being Piper's accomplice, and that it can just be a new killer
right
now. But yeah, they didn't really. They could have thrown in some of those extra lines to sort of clarify what he was thinking.
What he's thinking. Yeah. That's exactly, and that's another reason why I feel like he should keep her phone.
Yeah,
of like in case
the killer.
There yeah, is another
who's
killer.
Who's texting her all these things if she's the killer?
Yeah.
She has a split personality.
Oh, God.
He goes to the carnival alone.
him at the carnival is, like, walking through that hall of mirrors is like, yeah. no, no, yeah. no, no, I am not doing this.
Yeah.
Oh, after he didn't have a cell reception, too.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the self-awareness
yeah,
that
yeah.
I love.
No, that was really good meta because he was being an idiot, but he realized he was being an idiot.
Yeah.
And that was both, that was really funny and really nice to have that acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And we got the little crazy, creepy carnival feeling without, you know, all that other stuff.
Yeah.
So he gets knocked out. He's tied up with Audrey, which we find out later. Audrey's the one who knocked him out and tied him up together to prove that she wasn't the killer, which actually makes even less sense now, given what you were saying about, because you know what I mean? With the GIF, like, the killer could have done that anyway, right?
Yes.
Because there was clearly a separate person.
Yeah, so she could still be a suspect, yeah. and the killer is turning on her, too.
Yeah, what? I mean, it's unclear if she figured out that Noah had her phone, or just thought Noah was suspicious of her, because if Noah was just suspicious of her, then she doesn't necessarily know if he has the GIF or not.
I think she was just suspicious.
Yeah. I did, it's interesting, because I hadn't really thought of this aspect of it until you just brought it up with he knows it can't just be her, but I did like the twist that it was Audrey's,
right.
like, a manipulation of Audrey doing it.
Well, that's exactly, I kind of suspected that, but at the same, because I was so confused about, like, wait, when did Audrey get here?
Yeah, that was interesting. So he's tied up together. They're like, oh my god, I'm actually gonna die. They talk about Saw a lot, which I thought, I'm glad they didn't act. I thought they were gonna maybe actually start going into a Saw thing, which I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
And
then what happened that I didn't like?
Yeah.
At
okay.
all.
So it's revealed. He starts talking about all of his truths, and he reveals that he actually does like Audrey. Which again, I guess, reinforces that Zoe isn't a bitch because she was right. If this was the direction they were going, they did the best they could with it. I just don't understand why they went in this direction.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at least Audrey doesn't feel the same way, and at least, like, it seems like he can accept that and try to move past it.
Yeah.
And at least it's out on the table now, maybe we can move past, again, we can move past it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does... It just seems like a layer that was never necessary, and they were such a great platonic boy-girl friendship that this only clouds their friendship and hurts it a little bit,
yeah.
And I don't know why you would do that to one of your best friendships that you have on the show, and go.
No, it's just like one of the most, it's the only original male-female friendship,
yeah.
like genuine.
Yeah.
It feels like where they really actually like each other as people.
Yeah. And there was nothing. I never once throughout season one thought, oh, maybe he likes her.
Yeah.
You know, like
and then it taints later when like Audrey opens up to Noah.
Yeah.
And like goes to him for comfort. It's like, well, what does he see this
yeah.
as versus like what she needs out of it?
Yeah.
You know, that's why I really liked Audrey's response to Noah, like, saying
yeah.
that, you know, I have feelings for you, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, Noah, I love you, but not like
yeah.
that. So I'm like, oh, okay, if we can move
yeah.
on from this. But the thing is, I don't believe that they won't want to yeah. entertain this
I more. Mean, so, okay, I'm trying to think about what their reasoning for doing this might be, aside from just drama. But, like, I guess you could say that maybe this makes him have a more, even stronger connection with Audrey and, like, wanting to protect her and all that stuff. But I don't want that. I wanted their friendship to be a strong enough connection.
Exactly, that he would just yeah. inherently want to do that.
Yeah, so I mean, I saw some people being like, well, who wouldn't, like, love Audrey? Audrey's amazing. And I'm like, well, yeah, but he seemed like he didn't. He seemed like he loved her as a friend. And
that's still a good, yeah. powerful thing. Yeah, so.
And it's just, I feel like we so rarely, especially in shows like this, get great platonic male-female relationships.
Yeah.
And so
I don't want to see it
yeah.
go.
I don't know. I don't know if this was just all to throw a wrench into the Zoe relationship or what. But
I really don't want this entertained further. But if yeah. they don't, like, address it again, then that's bad writing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a lose-lose situation.
I mean, I get the feeling that the addressing it again will simply just be that's another explanation for why he's so gung-ho in protecting her.
Okay.
I don't think they're gonna actually go forward with this. I do.
No, I yeah. know, but, or I hope.
Which also underlines another thing for me, which is, I would like them to, bring up again Audrey's sexuality more, because, you know, like, does she not like him because she's actually gay and hasn't accepted that yet, or does she not like him for him? You know, like, it's like, that's a little unclear to me. And
I mean, they introduced that a lot in the first season, but I guess it's just like Audrey's dealing with too much other yeah. stuff for her to have a romantic plot as well.
Yeah, which I understand. It totally makes sense. It's just, I always been sort of iffy on the late, like, as much as it's fun to have, like, the bi-curious and the virgin moniker, I've been always a little bit iffy about the bi-curious labeling of her, and that they never really had her figure that out, you know? Like, is she bi-curious, or is she bi, or is she gay? Like, I don't know. Just yeah, on a representational
anything,
level.
Like, yeah, but if anything, that's, like, the realism of, like, young
yeah.
adulthood, I suppose.
Yeah.
So...
All right, so then the big thing happens, so she comes to him, she reveals that she brought Piper here, and she believed her, then she said she wasn't the killer, so it's all her fault. Noah, the big cliffhanger here is that Noah recorded this whole interaction. The thing about this reveal, so this is another reason why I would say this is a B, because that reveal, if it's true, if that's all Audrey's involvement was, feels kind of lame and like a letdown.
Yeah.
On the flip side, it does allow me to like Audrey more and keep her as a longtime player more, yeah. which I want because I love Bex. If that's it, that's not quite enough. I want her to be a little bit more gray area than that. Mm-hmm. I never really believed she killed someone, but almost, or if she actually knew that it was Piper, but for some reason was being threatened or something, you know, like,
yeah.
or was unsure. I don't know. That seems like not quite enough, and I'm hoping that we'll get more, because that also means that we don't even need flashbacks, really, but I want flashbacks, if that's all
I
that
do.
It was.
Yeah. Seeing Piper again.
Do you have any other thoughts on the Audrey thing, or should we move on?
No. Let's move on.
All right. So, we have this really odd subplot with the mayor and Eli's mother. He offers her a job that had once been Jake's. That's basically it. We'll get back to that whenever that returns.
We still don't know what the job is.
Yeah. So. Something to do with his legal battles, which I just, that was another part where I was bored at. I was just like, I do not care about these people. Brooke and Stavo, so, Brooke is going a little off the deep end, but in a good way.
Yes.
I enjoyed watching this. Brooke is definitely the highlight of the episode for me.
Mm-hmm.
Stavo steals a file for her, sort of continuing their relationship. And he's also, you know, she's like, don't tell me to just hang back and let other people deal with it. And he's like, no, go kick ass or whatever. You know, I understand why you don't ship them. I ship them.
That's fine. Yeah. For me, it doesn't come back to, like, I have moved on from disliking Stavo.
Yeah.
And the reason I disliked him is because I felt like they were really pushing the ship on us.
Yeah.
I'm still not on board with it. I don't, like, hate it.
Yeah.
I just want independent badass Brooke. And I want her to be independent of a romantic relationship with a guy.
Yeah.
It's the thing of, like, oh, well, she's in a vulnerable place. It's like, yeah, okay, I understand that. But, like, I'd rather him be the guy propping her up to help her be this badass self than be, like, the man she comes home to after being badass.
See, now, to me, if they continue what they did in this episode, I am perfectly fine with the Stavo thing. Because she had plenty of independence in this episode.
Exactly.
And I think if they continue to have her having multiple scenes without Stavo and doing badass things on her own...
Or with other girls something, or even Noah.
Yeah, or even another plutonic male thing. They could have more... I like her connection with Kieran. They don't show that enough.
Yeah. Wait, is it plutonic or platonic?
Is it platonic? I don't know. It's platonic, I think you're right. Platonic. I'm just being weird. You know what I mean?
No, I know. I'm just curious at this point.
I think it's platonic.
Okay.
I was just
curious. I'm like, what is right? What is wrong? What is life?
I liked the Stavo stuff because they gave so much good stuff for her. On a side note for Stavo, he also had a confrontation with Audrey talking about how it was his graphic novel. You're still a creep, Stavo. I'm sorry.
He's still creepy. Yeah. He's still a fucking creep, as shown by later being like shirtless with Brandon. Like that's maybe modeling that for his graphic novel, probably.
But shirtless is interesting. No matter what, like, I understand you're not, like, the killer, and you might not even be a bad person, but you have some issues. Like, you got, like, does he have some sort of death fetish thing going on?
Yeah, you're saying like, how, after all this, Brooke gets with a guy who has a death fetish, and
then she's like, ew, and then he just gets killed, and that's
and that would be... The reverse of the sheriff dying last season and his son surviving, his son dies this season and the sheriff survives.
I mean, I'm not going to say there isn't like a hot factor with that scene going on, but it's still just like, man, you got something, you got some issues.
if they just like focused on his back
and
the tattoo like shoulders, was good. Yeah, that was a cool tattoo. Yeah. And not shown me his creepy murder face. I would have been fine.
Oh, all right. So then we have the badass Brooke stuff of her manipulating Miss Lang, who Stavo helped reveal that Miss Lang and Branson are together.
That was the alibi.
Yeah. So she manipulates Miss Lang very expertly. That was great to see.
So skillful. That's from Bitch Brooke back in the day.
Yeah. And so I like her utilizing these skills and for good, kind of.
Yeah.
It's interesting that this is exactly the kind of stuff that you'd hope would be happening with Emma. That, yes, Brooke is vulnerable and breaking down and cracking a little bit, but she's still using her intelligence. She's still actually being badass.
Mm-hmm.
The scene here with her going with Branson and her having a little edge of psychosis here, that's the kind of thing that would make me more interested in the Emma thing, and is Emma actually the killer? You know, like...
Right.
But I really liked this scene with Branson and Brooke. I thought it was one of the best scenes in the season.
Branson attack sex is how you labeled it.
She was just really creepy. She did what she needed to do, and I understand why she did it.
Mm-hmm.
We get lots of little exposition here with Jake had been trying to pay off Branson to leave town, and he was going to use money that he got from Brooke's dad,
mm-hmm.
which we know is true, even if Brooke doesn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Even
if she thinks it's BS.
So silly. There we are. As much as I love this scene, there are a few funny lines.
Oh, yeah.
I guess that's most of what... I mean, I thought it was interesting that Branson's basically revealed what happened with the other girl, I believe him, which is that he, you know, probably was mentally disturbed and, you know, threatened, if you leave me, I'll commit suicide, and then actually did.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, okay. So
now we will talk
about the Iron Maiden.
That's a different murdery thing.
So the we have the big scene cutting off. So everybody thought Branson was going to die here. Instead, he gets his hand cut off, and then his wound cauterized by the iron. First of all, incredibly gruesome.
Oh, yeah.
A very solid horror scene.
Yeah.
Very different, unexpected horror scene. And I actually, as much as I feel like we need death more, because I was talking to somebody on Twitter, I was like, it almost doesn't even feel like I can call it a slasher series. There's been two deaths.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like.
So that's the thing, that this death felt very, not death.
This attack.
This attack
maiming.
Felt different.
Yeah.
In the fact that he wasn't killed.
Yeah. And so as much as we need deaths, I actually preferred it, because who would have cared if Branson died?
Yeah.
Like, it was just like.
It would have just been another check mark.
It's more interesting that he got maimed to me, because it leaves questions as to why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he just got killed, it's just like, oh, he got killed, done. This leaves the question of why. To me, the only logical answer is that Miss Lang put on the costume and wanted payback. He didn't want to kill him, but she's like, you know, isn't there, like, some sort of law somewhere, or an old law or something, if you touch someone you shouldn't touch, you get your hand cut off or something?
Maybe.
I feel like I've heard.
Probably.
I heard that, like, idea.
Well, that's a thief thing.
Yeah,
like,
but, but I also feel like I've heard, like, if you talk young people. I don't know if I'm making this up, but I feel like I vaguely rattling around in my
maybe probably.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, I that's what I believe too, that it's Miss Lang, and she's like, I can get revenge on him for cheating on me or using me.
Yeah. So
without consequences.
Yeah, and so
she's a sketchy person.
Yeah, you know, so between that and so part of me is like, oh, this is just a one-off thing, and that she isn't the actual killer usually. But she was recording Emma, so it's hard to know. I don't know. I'm torn on this because I like the idea of it being Miss Lang, and I can't figure out what other explanation it could have. But it also, I don't really want her to be the killer.
Yeah, same.
You know, so
same,
I kind of hope she just put on the costume as an alibi.
Yeah.
You know, as a throwing people off.
All right, that's everything.
Yeah, so we're going to get into our feedback. If you want to contact us, there's a myriad of ways that you can do that. You can go to thescreamcast@gmail.com, check out our podcast, all our old podcasts there, and you can send us a contact us form thing there. You can check us out on Twitter @ScreamPod. I've been live tweeting both this and Dead of Summer, so if you want to know my thoughts there. Actually, though, I'm going to be live tweeting Dead of Summer at TV After Dark because I'm working with them now. And check out, did I say gmail.com? I'm so confused. I meant gmail, so thescreamcast@gmail.com is where you can email us, obviously. thescreamcast.wordpress.com is where you can check out our podcasts, and send us a contact form.
Yes.
I'm on the crack today.
Please We're recording pretty early, so.
Please rate us and review us on iTunes. Take it away.
Okay, I'm sorry, I closed the outline to play Pokemon Go.
Oh, you.
I caught you a rat-tata.
Rat-tata. You're playing Pokemon Go.
I promise, this is the first time I opened it.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Feedback. This has devoured our lives, people. Anyway, feedback. This is from Colin.
Mm-hmm.
I think I now have an irrational fear of irons. Or was that a steamer? Either way, that final scene with who I assume was Stavo was insane.
That's interesting too.
Yes.
It could have been Stavo.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
That, me neither. I was like, it's Miss Lang. No, it could be Stavo. Stavo's a creepy little.
And I wonder if it could be, that could be really interesting, because then someone could figure out that this one was Stavo, but then this could be the only thing Stavo did.
Stavo does. He has the mask. That's another thing. How did Miss Lang get the mask?
Yeah.
All right. Then again, unless Branson is killed, I bet he'd rather live without a hand than going the other thing Brooke was going to cut off. I really enjoyed this episode with all that happened. I really enjoyed Noah in this episode and the way he was acting, knowing his best friend might be the killer. I like the scene where he and Audrey were both kidnapped and he was confessing his last confessions in the face of death. Aside from that, I felt bad for the kid, with him hating Lakewood until Audrey came and apparently catching the feelings for her. I have to wonder what was the endgame if Emma hadn't come. Audrey obviously admitted to kidnapping Noah, and she wasn't actually tied up. So if Emma hadn't come, what would she have done to Noah?
I think she was going to tell tell him everything.
Yeah, I think
she just wanted
to
first
so
get his
captive audience.
Oh wait, no, wait. No, she wasn't gonna tell him. The whole point was to prove that it wasn't her. He's right. This doesn't make any sense. What was Audrey
gonna
do?
Probably she would have been like, wait, I got it off.
Oh, yeah, I found a
way
out.
Yeah. She had a knife, so would it have been the end of Noah? No, I don't think so. I think it was a thing of like...
I would cut eyes
off. Oh,
that.
I did it. I successfully untied it. Yeah. Let's go, Noah, before the killer shows up.
Yeah.
All right. I liked Audrey's explanation of why she brought Piper to Lakewood, but did Audrey know she was Emma's sister? I don't know if they explained that. The only thing I didn't like was it proved me wrong about Audrey being one of the killers, even though I'm still convinced there had to be two killers. I can't wait till next week because it seems Audrey's confession was broadcasted to the world via the morgue. It'll sure be interesting to see what happens to Noah and Audrey and to see what happens with the cop and Emma's mom because they seem to be somewhere together looking for something or someone. I don't think it was live broadcast. That's not really how podcasts
work. I think what he meant is in the promo, it looked like maybe that Zoe was broadcasting it out. Not because he was talking about it next week, and then he mentioned the thing with the sheriff and Maggie. So I assume he means in the promo. Even in the promo, I wasn't sure that it was being broadcast out, or rather that Zoe just found the file.
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, I don't think that I buy Audrey's story because, like, remember the scene with the bookend and she was gonna, like, bash his head in? Like, if she could have just told him, hey, I knew Piper, that doesn't seem worth that. So, I feel like this was a solid lie, a piece of the truth, mm-hmm. right? Where it was enough to get him off the trail without making her seem too bad. At least that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
You know?
Same. Right. I don't know. Maybe I'm kind of convinced that this is the full story, and it was really just genuinely that lame the entire time.
We'll see.
Yes.
I do want to say that I actually really liked the idea of that being Stavo. I hadn't thought of that, and that being the one time that he did something, that he would maim someone, but he wouldn't kill them. Mm-hmm. I think that would be interesting.
It would.
All right. Episode 5. By episode 5, so we're going to talk about tweets from episode 5. I don't know why I said it that way.
Me neither.
So we have some tweets from episode 5. At @Darth_Kal-El? Kal-El.
Yes.
Yes. Sydney would have beaten Haley to a pulp. Emma is pretty much a weaker Sally from the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. At Connor... 64.
I mean, Sydney definitely would have beat Haley to a pulp, and I would have loved watching every minute of it.
Oh, man. At Connor64, Link said, it needed a death, but the episode I thought was great. It hit me on so many emotional levels, and I'm glad Noah is starting to suspect Audrey. Finally, we're moving the plot along.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to read the 5 ones, and you can
That's
read the 6
fine.
Ones. Okay. At Joey_Bay says... So, Noah was still out in the hall when the killer teased Emma. He was also enamored by what he saw on Audrey's phone. I'm stumped. Yeah, that's... I think that Noah being out in the hall was just a red herring.
Yeah, I think so, too.
At Mo Fierce says, I get stuck on details I should ignore, but cops can't question minors without their parents present. So I pointed out to him on Twitter that Kieran is 18 now.
But not all of them.
But I'm unclear on whether Emma is. Is Emma supposed to be older than Kieran?
I don't think so.
Yeah, especially with Emma's parent was right around the corner. But they did have Brooke being... Like, I could buy that Brooke is 17 and she had her parent present.
Yeah, but she didn't want her dad there.
Yeah.
But he demanded to be there because he's the mayor.
Also, is Noah... older than Kieran,
this is all a mess.
I mean, but that wasn't really something that
no,
bothers
but
me
like,
that much, but it's worth pointing
it
out.
It is worth pointing out, in terms of, like, now that we think about it, it's a mess. Their ages are a mess.
If there is a season 3, Emma has got to go by then. She sucks, and I'm not rooting for her. Again, with the details, there is no way Audrey would not notice her phone missing, especially since she's hiding something. Yeah, it was kind of weird that she was just like, oh, I lost my phone.
Why would she not take her phone? Like, I would be fiercely protective of that phone.
I would not leave it on the table. It would be my pocket at all times.
Yeah. Or even another thing is I would have 2 phones at this point.
Yeah. she doesn't have the money. She needs her upgrade.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, forgot about that one.
At Tumblr Overdose says, I think Emma has a split personality due to season one trauma, which we talked about.
You
obviously.
And a lot of people.
So we're going to get into the episode 6 tweets. You're going to read it, but I just want to set up that this first one is in response to me saying Emma is so unnecessary in a show that has Brooke and Audrey.
Right, yeah. Which we've also made clear on this podcast. Yeah. So from at Brandon Lee Garn 1, couldn't agree more. Her character is always so poor me. It's her fault that her friends are being murdered. Well,
that's a little bit harsh.
It's not her fault. Like, her existence is the reason her friends are being murdered. That's not her fault to exist. Like, she didn't choose this.
I didn't choose to exist.
Yeah, but I agree with her being a bit like, poor me. I mean, I would probably be too, but...
But it's annoying for a TV character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, from at Connor64 Lynch, wait, is the killer not actually killing Branson? I took that to mean he was done for. If Branson's not really dead, then I'm kind of mad. 3 episodes without a death again.
Yeah, I'm torn on this. Like, the thing is, if we'd been having more deaths regularly, if they had killed Haley last week, then I would have been perfectly happy with this.
Yeah.
And I still do think it was better than killing Branson. But yeah, man, we're now halfway through the season and we've had 2 deaths.
Yeah.
Which is to me, especially because Eddie to me is a half death. I feel like they are not even living up to their own standards, where by this point we had lost Nina, we'd lost Riley, we'd lost Rachel, you know, like, it's, I mean,
it?
I, at least those people, I'm trying to remember if we lost more, but to me it's like, to me,
but they had more weight to them too.
To me it is Nina equals Jake, even though I know it just as being like the first big dramatic death,
I suppose.
And then Riley and Rachel both had like a lot of weight to them, in my opinion. You know,
if so, anything, like, that's why I'd be like Nina equals Eddie. Like, yeah, I don't give a crap about either of them. So
yeah, it's just, I don't know. And Will was right around the corner. Hopefully we get an actual death next episode.
That's the thing. Like, now they're so in this character development, it's cutting anything else from the core is difficult. Jake was seriously the most unnecessary one.
Yeah, he was really his comedic relief / love interest, which they replaced Stavo with.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, I am torn because I agree with you that they are deep in the character development, and I don't want to, like, see Noah die. I don't really want to see Audrey, you know, I don't want to see Audrey die. I don't want to see Brooke die. Eli could go.
He wasn't even in this episode.
Yeah, barely, if anything. I can't remember if he was in it at all. You know, but, like, Maggie could go. Well, it's too much for Emma to handle. Maggie
will probably go at some point.
At the end of the season, she could go. And obviously, I feel like Zoe could go. And Zoe could go, and I would feel bad about it. It would
be like Riley Part 2.
Yeah.
So they're in a bit of a...
They're in a pickle, because I also don't really want Zoe to die, especially on a representational level. I don't know.
Well, that makes me wonder, like, who realistically would be around for season 3 anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right, so our last tweet from at Traced Thurman. Carnival portion was a huge missed opportunity for an epic chase scene. Yes.
Yeah.
But also... I feel like that was supposed to be another emphasizing that Emma,
could
be crazy.
Yeah,
because she's again. The
I'm
only
trying
one
to remember if anybody even. Yeah, if anybody even saw.
No, only Emma again.
Yeah.
Only fucking Emma again.
All right. Well, there you go. That was our podcast. Those were our thoughts. Hope you enjoyed this week. These were good episodes. You know, there were things to bitch about, but there were good. There were good. Things
I'm happy
overall.
With them. If they can keep this kind of consistency for the rest of the season,
yeah.
Solid B.
Yeah.
You know, it would be still something worth watching.
Yeah, for sure. We usually try to end out with who we think will die next. It's so hard to call.
Haley. Because I want that bitch to go.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we're getting a Haley death. I also wouldn't mind a Mayor Maddox death at some point.
That's his last name, right? Yeah. I had a mental block on that. Like, hardcore.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Scream you later.